24331.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Again, would you give your name for the record?
Good morning. Sergeant Brianna Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E. I'm here on behalf of Commissioner Higgins for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection.
Thank you. A statement of your case?
Yes, ma'am. So in the early morning hours of July 19th, 2023, the appellant approached two New Haven police officers outside of the police department headquarters and asked if her firearms could be taken from her because she tried to end her life and her firearms were in her vehicle. A risk warrant was subsequently issued by the Judicial District of New Haven. And in July of '24, so a little shy of 1 year, that order has since been terminated. It is believed that while the appellant is currently seeking therapy, she is self-medicating and is not compliant with both the prescribed medication and the scheduled doctor's visits, thus making her unsuitable to carry a firearm in public safely.
Thank you. Would you like to make a brief statement at this point? You'll have a chance to give your whole case in a few minutes, but would you like to say something briefly right now?
The counselor I was seeing, it didn't work out well with her, so I'm trying to find another counselor, and I'm still current on all my medication, so. They told me because I'm not seeing the counselor I was seeing, that they can't prescribe me any new medication because I'm not under their care anymore. So I guess I have to find a new counselor for them to continue my medication, but they issued me 3 months worth of medication, so I'm still currently taking.
We'll give you a chance to tell the whole story.
Oh, okay, no problem.
I'd like to call my first witness, please. Officer Nicholas Sammartino from the Woodbridge Police Department.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Officer, would you spell your name for the record, please?
Yes, ma'am. It's Sammartino. It's S-A-M-A-R-T-I-N-O.
On the date of the incident, July 19th, 2023, were you employed by the New Haven Police Department?
Yes.
I thought you looked familiar.
And how long had you been a police officer at that time?
At that time, approximately 3 years.
And are you still a police officer?
Yes.
And you're currently employed by the town of Woodbridge?
Yes.
Prior to becoming a police officer, did you have to complete an academy?
Yes.
Can you just give me a quick summary of what the academy entailed?
Sure. Physical fitness, constitutional law, penal code, motor vehicle, firearms, search and seizure, use of force, bunch of that.
Okay. And was there firearms training as part of your academy training? Okay, perfect. You still maintain your firearms training to this day?
Yes.
Okay. When you left the New Haven Police Department, did you leave in good standing?
Yes.
It was on your own terms?
Yep.
Okay, very good. Can you give me a brief summary of the incident that happened the early morning hours of July 19th that caused you to interact with the appellant?
Yes, so myself and my partner at the time were going to the police department to address another matter. We were approached by the appellant, who told us the circumstances of her being in front of the building, which was her attempting to take her own life with the firearms in the vehicle. So we took the firearms, notified an ambulance, seized them, and sent her to the hospital for a further evaluation. And then that's about it. We executed the risk warrant the following morning.
Okay. And what was her demeanor that early morning hours? Was she upset? Was she crying?
She was emotional, but still cognizant and able to articulate with us.
Okay, she was verbally composed. She could, you know, talk and explain her scenario?
Yes.
Did she appear to be under the influence of anything?
No.
And you said you retrieved the firearms from her vehicle?
Yes.
Where in the vehicle were they located? Do you remember?
They were on the floorboard specifically. I can't recall.
Okay. And were they secured in any manner?
No.
What was the condition of those firearms? Were they loaded or unloaded?
The firearm that she mentioned specifically was loaded, but it was improperly loaded. So the round didn't go into battery because the last round entered into the magazine was entered in reverse. So when trying to put the gun into battery, the round didn't seat correctly and then subsequently wouldn't fire. The other firearm, I don't remember if there was one in the chamber. I don't believe there was.
Okay. So for colloquial terms, it's safe to say that that gun was either in lockback mode or stovepiped, couldn't cycle fully?
Yes.
Because that round was impeding the cycle of the firearm?
Yes.
Okay. Were the remaining bullets in that firearm loaded backwards or just that one that you noticed?
I believe it was just the last one.
Okay. And do you believe, based on your training and experience, that if the trigger was pulled and the round was seated properly, the firearm would have discharged?
Yes.
Okay. Did the appellant indicate to you where she was when she attempted to utilize the firearm to enter life?
I don't recall.
And as part of your investigation, do you remember asking the appellant if she had any history of mental illness, any prior suicide attempts, anything like that?
No.
Okay. No, you don't recall, or no, she did not?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. And in her going to the hospital, you stated you completed an emergency committal form. Was she compliant?
Yes.
She didn't fight you. She was, for all intents and purposes, a willing participant?
Yes.
Were you the one to ask the cigarette for him?
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember.
You're going to get a chance to ask him what happens next.
I have no further questions.
Now do you have questions?
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I'm trying to remember because I saw the Woodbridge. And I'm like, Woodbridge? What is it? No.
Now you have a chance to ask questions.
You didn't give me the cigarette, right? I think it was your partner.
I might have. I had him in my rifle bag for
okay.
people if they needed
it. No, I'm sorry. That was irrelevant. But that particular, like, I've had my license for.
No, this is when you ask them questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is my first time.
That's okay.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. You don't have to. Questions from the board.
How long did the appellant have their permit for?
Her permit was issued in January of 2015 and revoked in August of 23, so 7+ years.
Anything else?
I'll just say we have in our packet a medical statement from Dixwell Behavioral Health. Is that supplied by the issuing authority, or is that supplied by
that was supplied by the appellant, and I was going to ask her that if
okay,
I could
you
call
I just
her
to know where that came from.
Because yes. Yes, okay. She provided that to us when we reached out.
Yes. I think this is in the packet we have. Correct me if I'm wrong. She actually asked you to take the two guns?
Yes.
Other questions?
And I don't think you really describe what she said. How did she put the gun to her head, to her chest? What did she tell you at that time?
I don't believe there are any specifics to it. Just the fact that she tried to hurt herself prior to coming to the police department, and then just circumstantially, we kind of just acted right then and there to get the help required.
She actually came to the police department?
Yes.
Any other questions? No, your turn.
What am I supposed to do now?
You're to tell us why you should get.
So I applied for my permit those years ago because I was really interested in law enforcement at the time, and I've just been trying to get into law enforcement. I never had any incident like this prior to this. That night was a really. It was a struggle that night. My mom was hospitalized, and I thought I was going to lose her. And I was calling, like, everyone, and no one answered their phone. So I kind of felt, I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional. I felt really abandoned that night, and I just wanted it to go away. But in that instant, I realized, like, this isn't me. So I know I was supposed to do this, but I ran every light, and I went straight to the police department, and I saw them two walk in, and I'm just like, excuse me, could you guys come get my guns? I almost, tried to harm myself, and that was that. But, I've been going to, I was in the psychiatric ward for 5 days, and I needed that time to decompress, and my mom ended up getting out the hospital, and I wasn't able to talk to her, so it was kind of, like, stressful, but, I'm sorry, I'm crying. I'm just reliving that moment. But I was in a psych ward for 5 days. I needed that because I'm the only girl out of 4 boys, and I'm like their mom. So being the only person to, it was stressful. So the reason why I wanted back is because I worked really, really hard for it. And I didn't want this one mistake to be the reason for me to have it taken away. I'm mentally stable, I'm mentally better now. then I wasn't working. I had to give up my job, my car, to help my mom. I'm about to start CT Transit on Monday. So, like, mentally, I'm way, way better. The reason why I stopped going to the counselor is because I felt like I was counseling her at some point. So it was just like, what am I here for? So that's why I'm trying to find a new counselor. But I made sure that I seek the help that I needed. Thank you so much. And I don't know, I didn't know what to say when I got here because I've never been through nothing like this before. But I feel like now I'm like way, way better mentally. And it's a different day for me. And I let these 2 years, I made sure that I got the proper help. I have support now, and I'm just way better mentally. Thank you for making me last, though.
I have a couple questions, if you don't mind. First, let me say I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your candor, and I appreciate the fact that you are willing to discuss it and be out in the open, and that you did try to get help by going to the police department, because a lot of people don't. Where were you when you tried to fire the fire? Were you home? Were you in your vehicle?
I was home in my car, but in the parking lot at the convenience store across the street, because that's usually where I park my car. And whenever I need to get away, I just sit in my car. So I was just sitting in my car, just like, my mom's about to go. I'm not working. I can't help. It was a lot. So I was in my car near my house. I wasn't in my house, or I was just outside in my car.
And just to confirm what I think you said earlier, this was you've never tried to hurt yourself ever?
No.
Okay. Have you since?
No. Heck no. I think I learned my lesson.
Well, it appears so, yes. What made you go to the police department? Just because?
I realized that if I wasn't here, my mom was probably not going to be okay. I think about all the people that actually really need me. So, like, I'm going to make everybody, like, hurt. And it was it would have been a selfish thing for me. I haven't talked about this in a long time.
Well, I'm giving you credit, 100%. Did you pick up your firearms from the police department? Have you picked them up?
No. I forgot the judge's name, but he released them to my cousin. My cousin picked them up, and we sold them back to the firearm store that I purchased them from. So they're there.
Okay. You provided a letter to us. Thank you for that. In regards to your treatment, and the letter is dated July 28th of 2025. You mentioned that you haven't seen this. Is this the counselor you referred to that you haven't, you're not seeing
Terry
any longer?
Terry McCormick.
Yes.
Yep. I forgot her last name. I call her Terry.
That's fine. Terry is who's on the bottom of that.
Is the APRN.
When did you stop seeing Terry?
We're in October. Probably, I would say August.
Okay.
August was my last visit with her. No, I'm lying. July. July was my last visit with her.
So maybe this one, July 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And during your visits with her, she documents that you didn't attend some therapy sessions, and I'll just summarize. You attended approximately 75% of your therapy sessions and about 50% of your medicine management.
Mm-hmm.
What impeded you from making it 100%?
So a lot of the visits were Zoom calls or phone calls, and if I were to miss the call, they would just say I didn't show up. I would try to call back to say, hey, like, I literally missed the call by 3 minutes. And, oh, we got to reschedule, so I had to keep rescheduling, and then their times conflicted with my times of, because I was in school for phlebotomy at the time as well, so they were always trying to schedule my meetings during my school hours, and sometimes I couldn't take the calls, or I would rush from school to get to the calls, and, they would call, they would say they were going to call at 3:30, but then call at 3:40, and then couple of times I'm in the bathroom. I don't go to the bathroom on my phone all the time, so if I miss the call, I call back, okay, just squeeze me in. So I would just always have to be scheduled if I missed the call.
Understandable. In this letter as well, indicated that you did test positive for marijuana in 2024. Do you still use marijuana?
No, I have not used marijuana since. And that was another thing when she, I asked for the letter for her recommendation for this hearing. It just made me look to see, like, I wasn't doing better. All she put was the first time that I took a drug test and the alcohol test and I tested positive for it, but that was like a month after the incident, but they've never tested me again, but I have not drank or smoked weed since, and it's been, what, 2 years now. So I'm like, could you at least test me again so you can give them that? But they didn't, so.
I have no further questions.
Questions from the board?
I'll do it. Do you have any medical records? I mean, I know you have this. You mentioned you asked for a letter from your treater. We don't have a letter.
Well, not a letter. I guess it's just a
report.
Yes, like a report.
There's one report that we have.
Yes, yes. I asked if they could give me that, and that's all they gave me. And when I asked if I can take another drug test or another,
because the report's not very helpful to you. It says basically,
right, exactly,
non-compliant with your medication.
And I'm like, this is not what I need, lady.
At least at the time, and
right. So it doesn't make me look.
How
like
about
I'm,
records from your? You said you did a 5-day inpatient.
Mm-hmm.
Any records from there, treating psychiatrist there?
I can.
Oh, no, you need them today.
Oh, no, so I didn't know what I was supposed to bring or anything. I know they said I was supposed to bring something to help me with the case, but I figured.
No, the letter that the board sent says at least discharge papers from the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Certainly a letter from a current treater saying, I know she wants a firearm, she's absolutely okay, I recommend it, or something like that,
yeah,
would be helpful.
Because when I
absent
when I,
that, this is going to be very difficult.
Right. So I called her and asked her about a letter for. They said that they couldn't give me anything because they can't make the decision on if they feel like I should have my firearms back. Yeah. So it was basically me. I guess
that's a very tough
KC.
Ask. There's no
yeah. No. Yeah. Not
especially
nah,
since the suicide attempt
right.
was only
and I understood
a
that.
Couple years ago. Right.
Right.
2 years ago.
Yep. I understood that. So. And then they were saying that the medical records had to go through a whole bunch of stuff just to get the medical records, and it was just like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get them. All I got is my discharge from on my chart. That's all I have. But as far as on my I never saw a psychiatrist. I only saw her. She doesn't consider herself a psychiatrist. So I just saw her all these past 2 years. She considers herself just a counselor.
How about when you were an inpatient? Did you see a psychiatrist then?
I saw an inpatient. I don't know what she was. I only saw her the first day I went and then the last day. Nothing in between the days that I were there. I was there.
Tell the board what happened. I mean, we know that there was a gun and it was loaded improperly.
Mm-hmm.
Describe that. How did that happen?
I don't know. I honestly went to go. I had two firearms. One was already, it was jammed. Like, so it was like cocked back and it just wouldn't go forward. And then I had another small gun, and I went to go grab the gun, and I just looked at it, and I'm just like, I had it in my hand, and I'm just like, you're either gonna do it or you're not. And then I just came to my senses, like, no, and I literally just sped off and went straight to the police department.
Did the first gun malfunction while you were trying to?
No, that gun was already.
Where did that happen, or how did that happen?
I was leaving the range, and I was trying to load it, and I didn't realize I loaded the bullet backwards in the gun. And when I tried to, like, make sure that it wasn't one in the chamber, it got stuck, and I didn't realize that it was like that.
And you just left it there?
Yeah, because I didn't know where to go. I wasn't thinking to. That happened the day before, actually, so it was already. I was supposed to go the next day to try to go to the gun store to get it fixed, but. All of this happened.
Did you actually point the gun at yourself?
No.
That's the impression I got. Maybe I'm reading.
No, I didn't.
I'll tell you what I thought from reading stuff and listening. That you actually put the gun to your head, your chest, or something, fired, and it malfunctioned.
No. That gun, there was the Glock 40, I think, that was already jammed. I had a 9mm. That I grabbed the Glock that was jammed, forgot that it was jammed, and I'm like, oh, I got the other one. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I just dropped it and went straight to the police station.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
That was a really good call.
Because for me to have, like, you know, an option wasn't, like, I guess,
but
it's not a funny matter, but I'm like, I could honestly laugh about it now because it was like the stupidest thing that I could ever do. And I 100% regret that day because I wouldn't be here if I would have really went through with it. But
all right, you answer my question. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just
no, that's okay.
Questions?
Was there a risk protection order entered?
Yes.
And that was in August 2nd of 23?
Yes.
Okay, is that still in effect?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I just have something quick. So you said you went to the range day prior. What did you do with the firearms afterwards? Because they were in your car when you were sitting inside. Did you take them inside your house afterwards?
No, I don't bring them in the house.
You just leave them inside your car?
Because I have nieces and nephews that
Where do you
come.
Keep them inside your car?
I usually keep it in my back seat on the floor.
On the
like
floor?
On the passenger side, like underneath the seat.
Okay, was it inside a lockbox or anything?
No, the lockbox I couldn't find for some reason. So, I had one lockbox for the Glock, but the 9 I couldn't. It was a box. It was an actual like wooden or box, so it got tore up, so I couldn't put it back in there.
Okay. Just in the future, just make sure if you ever store a firearm in a motor vehicle, it has to be locked
right.
and secure. So
right.
there's a statute for, that covers
yeah.
that now.
I never keep them in the house because there's too many kids
yeah.
that come over, so I always just feel like it's safer in my car, or I'll mm-hmm. keep them in my trunk. It's just that I was
yeah.
rushing to go to work after the range, and I just put them in the back seat and...
Underneath the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Other questions? So you're not seeing a therapist at this time?
As of now, no. I'm still looking for another counselor because the behavioral health on Dixwell Avenue, I'm not saying that they're horrible, but they're not good. So they have a lot of other options that I can go to for, and that what my insurance could cover. So I'm just actually looking for someone that, excuse me, that I'm more comfortable with, because after a while we were just, it was like repetitive. The conversations were repetitive and I felt like it wasn't really doing much for me. And then we would talk about, you know, overcoming this situation, but then she would try to bring up, it was just uncomfortable after a while. So I just told them that I wanted to discontinue the sessions until I find another counselor to talk to.
But you are planning to
yes.
find another counselor?
Yes, at another Cornell Health. The counselor I was seeing is at Cornell Health. So they have a bunch in New Haven. So I actually have an appointment for a new patient next week on the 24th for a new counselor at Sergeant Drive in New Haven.
Are you working now?
I start Connecticut Transit on Monday. So yeah. And I wasn't working through those 2 years, so that was a lot of going on. I stopped working to help my mom, and I feel like throughout this time, I'm just like, you know, I gotta stop stressing over things I don't have control over. And I think since then, I've been way like aware or self-aware and better. So now I graduate on Saturday from phlebotomy school, and then Monday I start for CT transit.
Will you look for a job as a phlebotomist?
It's hard, it's super hard. I finished school in January and we're graduating on Saturday, which was stupid, but I actually went to go get my blood drawn yesterday and asked them what they're hiring. They said, give me information, so hopefully I can get that. but I'm looking forward to CT Transit because I have my Class A commercial license. I've had that for 3 years, and I'm like, I need to get back working. I can't sit around. That's when I get into my head, and like I need to start working. So, yeah, I start work Monday, and then I graduate Saturday. So life's kind of good right now for me anyway.
No other questions. Would you like to make any kind of final statement, or have you already said everything you need to say?
I feel like the only reason why I want my permit back is because I've worked really hard for it. And I don't even have interest in purchasing a firearm, not right now anyway, but it's just an accomplishment that I feel like I don't want to let go. It's just... That's it, I guess.
Do you have a final statement?
I do. In the early morning hours of July 23, the appellant approached two New Haven police officers asking them to take her firearms from her due to thoughts of suicide. Full credit should be given to the appellant for her acknowledgement for her need to help, for her need for help, and to seek it out, because that's always the hardest part. I also want to give her full credit for following up with therapy and medication. However, and quite frankly, I think she, based on her own admission, is in a far better place now than she was 2 years ago.
She should have seen you then.
However, I do have concerns based on her self-admitted no therapy in the past 3 months and the intermittent therapy that was documented in that letter. I don't believe the appellant should be prohibited forever, but I'm still not certain that enough time has passed that I feel comfortable having her carry a firearm in public.
Colonel Overture?
This is a revocation by desk. Initially, the revocation was based on a risk protection order, which has since expired. So this is a suitability case at this time. The case is based on a single incident that occurred in July of 2023 when the appellant approached two New Haven police officers, said she was contemplating or attempted suicide, take her own life with a firearm. The police department, the two police officers retrieved the firearms from her vehicle. An emergency committal was completed. Subsequently, a risk protection order was completed. I think that was in effect for approximately 1 year. The appellant spent 5 days in the psychiatric ward and has, for approximately 2 years, worked with a therapist out of New Haven. The only documentation supplied by the appellant regarding her treatment was a very short report from her treater. She has severed ties with that therapist based on just a conflict, and she is currently looking for a new counselor. I believe she said she has an appointment in the very near future. Mm-hmm. The appellant was very open and honest in her testimony today. She has graduated from phlebotomy school. I have a hard time with that word, so I apologize.
You can just call it phleb school.
Yeah, and is starting a job with CT Transit Monday.
Mm-hmm. So. I don't normally go first, but I am.
Okay.
A couple of good things. You knew you needed help and you went to the right place to get help. And credit to the police officers who helped you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
And you're going for counseling, or you have gone for counseling. That's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Concerns. It seems a little too soon to me. I'd like to see a little more time of stability.
Okay.
And I'm concerned that you had firearms in the car that were not secured.
Mm-hmm.
So my vote will be no today, with the expectation, there's an interesting dog who keeps showing up outside. With the expectation that you'll continue on the right path and probably will apply again and be successful, but not quite yet.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I would echo the chairman's comments. I've worked with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they stress that just because someone has a one-time ideation of harming themselves like that, that doesn't mean that this is going to necessarily recur or whatever. So I urge you to keep going with the therapy,
yeah, absolutely,
just to double check on things. And I should make one other comment based on the detective's questions to you. Just so you know, we have turned people down for a permit simply because they have loaded guns in the car,
yeah,
that are unsecured, and they park their car in a public parking lot. So that kind of improper gun handling is a cause for concern. I know you won't do it again. And the other thing, it seems a little bit nitpicky, I guess, but leaving the range with a loaded gun that you know is jammed and just putting it in the car, that's not really the best,
yeah, I know,
safety practice either.
Right.
But I think you're very admirable in so many ways.
Thank you.
And you've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, we like you.
So. I like you too.
Thank you.
Other statements?
I would just echo all those things. The appellant presents very well, very honest. It's very difficult to sit here and tell a bunch of strangers.
You know, I'd rather talk to strangers than my family.
Some of the worst times. Some of the worst times in your life, right?
Yeah.
Having said that, it was a very short time ago. The medical documentation doesn't help you.
Right.
It probably makes it worse. What we would like to see, and what an issuing authority would like to see, is counseling, and a letter from someone who's treating you, who's aware of the incident, mm-hmm. and is aware that you're going for a firearm, and somehow sign off on that. That's yep. a difficult thing to do.
It is.
There's no doubt. But that's the hurdle you kind of have to get over. But thank you for your honesty.
No problem.
We don't always see
and
that.
I think we're probably all expecting you will get over that hurdle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm 65% over it.
Okay. You're further than that.
Give yourself more credit.
I'm still emotional, so that's why I'm giving it the 65%.
That means you care. that's all that means.
That's fine. Time for a vote. Chief.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Evangelisti.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Viterbo.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority at this
Attorney
time.
Attorney Sinetti.
Despite the fact that it's so soon afterwards, I do have a lot of faith in you, and I'm going to vote for the appellant.
I vote for issuing authority, but good luck.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do I just apply in like 2 years or something?
It's sort of on you to think about it, and just when you feel you're in a real good spot, especially with your counseling, can't give advice.
Right.
I would say the best. Oh, I'm sorry. I would say the best thing is when your counselor feels.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
It's good. That's what we're going to have to see. Or
the documentation. Yeah.
Okay.
Or not.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.